Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1492, air date October 19th, 2024.
Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And today we are joined by the ever controversial but highly informative Dr. Shiva, who's, of course, running for president. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And today we are joined by the ever controversial but highly informative Dr. Shiva, who's, of course, running for president of the United States as an independent. It is Shiva4President.com, and that's the numeral four, Shiva4President.com. We are joined by him now. Welcome, Dr. Shiva. It's great to have you on the show.
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing well, but you know, you called me out on X. You called me out for saying that I was going to vote for Trump. And so I wanted to have you on, and I've done a lot of thinking about that. I want to brainstorm with you about that. Want to hear from you about the candidates. I want to hear everything you've got to share with us today. But you did call me out on that. So what are you thinking? Why should somebody vote for Dr. Shiva today? So let's start with that.
Well, Mike, how old are you, Mike, by the way?
I'm in my 50s, we'll say. I'm in my 50s.
Okay, so I consider you like a younger brother, okay? And I called you out because I have great hope for what you do. And I don't think that you need to compromise in any way for whatever the reasons may be, you see? And that's why I called you out of really a point of service, Mike. It wasn't to attack you personally.
Oh, I know. That's what I love about you, Dr. Shiva, is you and I can go back and forth, and you're such a professional. You call me out, or if I call you out on something, it's okay. We can always get together and talk about
it. Now, some people you can't do with.
I know. Trust me.
A quote unquote, a blackout podcaster who was trying to set me up to do one of those gotcha interviews yesterday.
I saw that.
Yes. And she did not disclose to people that she's a house slave to Jill Stein, who's a fucking racist Zionist.
Oh, man. Wow. And yeah. Go for it. Tell us.
So what I wanted, you know, my goal is, having been a student of revolutionary politics and studying this on a very deeply personal level, because of the origins of my own personal life, my family's, my people, you want to call it, and where I grew up in New Jersey, I've been deeply interested in how to smash these systems of power. It's very personal to me. And yes, it's also collective, you see? So it's not something for me to even grift on, because I've been doing it my whole life since I was 4 years old, okay? So this is very personal to me, and I've spent my whole life trying to understand these systems of power, using as best as I could history, particularly engineering science. And I cracked the code on understanding all of this back in 2010, when I integrated engineering scientific theory with traditional systems of medicine. I was able to build a framework that I can teach to anyone, a set of 9 principles, which helps us really understand how systems operate, any system. Your computer as a system, your microphone, your political systems, your election systems, medical systems, all these things. And this gives a framework for me to take someone who wants to figure this out and put them through a process of figuring it out. So that process begins for everyone out there. If you're listening, go to shattertheswarm.com and start your journey. You will understand how the few control the many. Yes. Now, that video took me about probably 50 years to put together and make it 15 minutes, Mike. So, and then in that video, it's like I got to take people from a kindergarten age to adolescence to adulthood. And then we put together a whole framework. It's called Get Off the Plantation. So now you understand how the few are able to control the many. And by the way, there's no curse words in there, and anyone can watch it with their children.
Okay, we're showing it on the screen here. It is shatterthewarm.com. Right. And here's the key video.
Right. And everyone, the slogan is save yourself. So the target here, Mike, from a marketing standpoint and from a messaging standpoint, is we want to find, out of the 8 billion people, those people come to the conclusion there's no one's coming to fucking save me. Booby fucking Kennedy, that Zionist cocksucker, ain't going to do it. Fucking Trump ain't going to do it. Kamala ain't going to do it. Jill fucking liberal racist Stein ain't going to do it. I got to do it on my own. Now, that is a very high level of consciousness we're looking for, because to build a revolutionary movement, you can't try to figure help everyone, right? You got to build the tip of the spear. So those of you listening who've come to the point where you say, look, I'm over all these people, but I really want to get serious. We'll start with Shatter the Swarm, kindergarten. Then we put together, so what I did, Mike, is we started looking at all the videos that people really engage people. Like, for example, the climate change video, the whiteboard video I did on.
Excellent video. Excellent.
It's a great video. But again, those videos, you know, I used to teach a class at MIT called Systems Visualization. Whiteboard, paper, pen, and chalk. How do you explain very complex things quickly? Okay.
Yes.
So that brought a lot of people to our movement. So we, about the beginning of this year, we did a big summit of all of our about 400 leaders. And we said, how did you come to this movement? Oh, this video. Some of the people are interested in elections. Some of the people are the climate change scam. Some people are interested in the healthcare thing. And we put that together into a 2-hour, what I call a course. Okay. And that course allows people in a very deliberate way to understand what's going on, right? So that allows people to do that in a very pedantic way. So they don't have to bump into a video, Mike. So in 2 hours, all free, it's called Get Off the Plantation. So if you understand how systems of power work, then go sign up and now get off the plantation. Because you have to make, now why is getting off the plantation important? As Malcolm X talked about, there was a time in human history that you had slaves. And as Malcolm talks about, there were people when the master's house was burning down, Mike, the house slaves would run around. Oh my God, master's house is burning down. And they would care more about the master than the master did about them. The field slaves were out there saying, let the house burn down. Okay. So the issue is, do you want to get off the plantation? And this is a very hard thing for people to do, because getting off the plantation, meaning you fucking leave it. You're not hoping for Kennedy. You're not hoping for Jill fucking Stein. You're not hoping for Trump. You're off. And that's a very lonely place to be, because now you have to figure out how to fight. Right. And so our movement then takes people through a process of teaching people how to fight. That's a truth for, and you can go to Truth for Health for that. You see, so we've created, come to kindergarten, go to adolescence and learn how to fight, become a leader and start deploying the systems offline.
Okay. So this is critical. I'm really glad you're bringing this up, and I have not seen your Shatter the Swarm video. I've seen your climate change video.
You got to see Shatter the Swarm.
I will. I'll watch that tonight.
Engineering, computer science, systems, anyone, most people come to our movement having seen that.
Okay, I'll watch that. But you are absolutely brilliant. No question about it. You have a systems view of being able to organize complex information and understand dynamics in ways that people don't. So, but let me ask you, you know, here we are, facing an election in less than 20 days. You know, you're not polling at a number that can achieve realistically a victory of electoral college votes. It's going to come down between Trump and Kamala for this election at this moment. And I only have one vote. Yes, I want to block Kamala, but there are things about Trump that drive me insane, like his support for Zionism. And he still won't apologize for Operation Warp Speed. And he's a big debt creator, a big debt spender. And he wants to support the military to be even bigger with more debt money. So as a voter, here I am in Texas. It's trending over 5 points in the lead for Trump or more. My vote for Trump won't change much in Texas. But I have to look at the moral issues here as well. What do you think I should do as a voter in Texas who wants to be moral, who wants to contribute to a more free society? Should I vote against Kamala? Should I vote for Trump? Or should I vote for neither of them and vote for you? You're on the ballot in Texas, right?
As a write-in, Mike. So you can vote for us and the votes will be counted.
Okay, as a write-in.
Yeah, but it'll be counted because we had to get 54 electors, right? People need to understand that in the United States, you have to have electors. When you run, you're not voting for me. No one can vote for a candidate. You're voting
for the electors.
But we have the electors. But you brought up an interesting word, right? Victory. Let's start here, okay? So one of the things, Mike, you know, I put together from my life's work, educating people. So the issue is, how do things change, right, Mike? So the goal is, we want change. The change we would like is a world that has greater truth, greater freedom, and greater health, truth, freedom, health, right? On a very fundamental level. The issue is, how do we get there? And how have humans ever gotten close to any of those achievements? So you have to take, and you have to be very, very moral about this. And you have to be very truly Christ-like about this, with true principles. Not like, I'm going to fucking compromise. So how did human history ever get, how did we even get electricity? How did we even get infrastructure? How did we get any of these things? How did we get, you know, so you didn't have kids working in factories. There was a time kids worked in factories for 20 hours, right? We did an orientation this morning. There was a Mexican immigrant worker talking about how his parents were shipped here, how in California he had to live in these homes with no water, nothing, and, you know, go out in the snow and piss and shit. Like, this is in the United States. Now, how did we break away from that, Mike? Was it Franklin Delano Roosevelt that did that? Was it a Republican or Democrat that made systemic changes in U.S. history? So that's the first question I have to you.
I don't think it was any national leader that made those systemic changes. I think it was the people that made those changes, and it was the sharing of knowledge and basic technology among the people and the government. As far as I'm concerned,
well, let's look at something like the fact that, you know, in 1919 or around that period, right, measles rate was this high. By 1963, it'd come to nearly zero, right? Before the vaccine.
Yeah, that was public sanitation improvements.
Exactly. Now, how did we get public sanitation?
People got tired of living in their own shit.
And what did they do?
They cooperated to build better systems.
But how did the elites want to give us those public sanitation systems?
Oh, I don't think it had anything to do with the elites. I think it's people living in cities who said, we need to solve a common problem. So let's design a way to push this stuff underground and get it out of our way and push it out into the rural areas. And that's what they did.
Right, right. So the issue was they implemented infrastructure. Okay.
Okay.
This is a critical point, and you will understand why you must not vote for any fucking people, any of these people. The reason we got that infrastructure, and if you look at American history, was not because of anyone in Congress, not because of any politician, because there's something that happened, which you need to really study. And, in Truth, Freedom, Health, we teach people this. It was what occurred in starting in 1886, Mike. This is not taught in history class in the United States anymore. In the late 1800s, there was something, everyone should go look this up, called the Great Upheaval. Why is the late 1800s important? That's when we were transitioning from the agrarian economy to the industrial economy. People are leaving their farms and going into these cities,
yes,
that were hell to live in.
To work in the factories in the cities. Yeah, conditions were awful. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so that's what was occurring. And the elites just wanted to exploit people, use them, toss them out, kill them. They didn't care. Children were working in these factories.
That's right.
All right. And measles rate was very high. Polio rates were very high, right? And then they came down. How did they come down? Because of public sanitation and infrastructure.
That's right.
How did you get that? In the 1880s, people, American workers, started organizing independently in militant movements, Mike, that has been written out of the history books. Militant bottoms-up movements. They didn't fucking decide, I'm going to vote for Trump or Kamala. They said, fuck these people. These people are going to do shit for us. So, for example, in 1886, in one of the biggest protests that took place in Haymarket, Chicago, four American workers fighting for the eight-hour workday were hanged. Americans were hanged in America in one of the biggest travesties of justice. Around that same time, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, seven American workers were shot down by the National Guard fighting for basic infrastructure. So the elites never gave shit to us. And this is something that we need to understand. Change came from these militant bottoms-up movements. They weren't terrorists. They were bottoms-up people saying, fuck this. And those movements kept building. 1900s, right? The women's rights movements came, right? And these movements built into a powerful movement. I have seen pictures, and I can't find them anymore, in Times Square, blacks and whites arm in arm, Mike. Millions. Massive, massive protests. And these weren't just, you know, like random people sitting at home protesting. We're talking about American workers, working people who took time off to fight. And so by the 1920s, these movements, Mike, had grown to such a level, the elites were scared shitless. So then Franklin Delano Roosevelt comes into the picture. You have the Depression, and he is presented as this great hero who did the New Deal. He was a complete elitist fucking scumbag.
Absolutely, he was, yeah.
But all these people died. And if you go read the writings of that time, the elites were afraid there was going to be a massive workers' revolution, not controlled by Russia or China, but bottoms up. Yeah. The American workers flexing their muscles. So the elite said, shit, we got to suppress this. We got to stop this. So they threw massive reforms. Social Security, Medicare, infrastructure, all of these gains that the average American worker has came from that time. Workers' rights, roads, bridges. The elites didn't want to do any of this. And that's why we need to understand. Then they went and did what you said. Okay, we're going to build this, put the sewers. But you cannot forget, and this is what they want us to forget, these heroic bottoms-up movements by people like me and you, whose names we don't even know. And those movements came up. So by the 1930s and 40s, these movements came up. And if you just look at the math, the RAND Corporation did a wonderful analysis from that period, about 1930 to 1970, the biggest explosive growth of the American GDP took place. And if you look at the various income quartiles of people, the highest wealthy people income quartile four, and the lowest wages, all as the American pie grew, Mike, everyone's wages grew. Documented in fact. Why? Because during 1900 to 1970, there were close to 11,000 strikes. Close to 250 million Americans took to the streets in 11,000 strikes, which means the American workers were militant and fucking had a gun to the imperialist hand. Like, don't fuck with us. All right. Now, what did the elites do, Mike? And this is where the Democrats and Republican parties colluded. In 1950, a scumbag by the name of Joseph McCarthy, a senator, guess where? From Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where they shot those seven workers, becomes a senator. And he wants to brand all of these Americans, these organic indigenous movements, as communists. Oh, it's Russia running these movements. And that was called the McCarthy era, if you remember. And they started jailing anyone who had sentiments for bottoms-up workers' movements. And so the right-wing Republicans went after those movements. And the left-wing, the mafia included, the Democrats, were told that they would take over these bottoms-up trade unions. So between 1950 to 70, all of these bottoms-up movements, Mike, which were organic, were taken over top-down. So the Democrats controlled the unions, and the Republicans controlled Wall Street, exploiting these workers. So okay, if you look at the timeline between 1900 to 1970, and you just lay it out in terms of how much the wealth grew for all Americans, American pie grew, everyone grew.
And so, okay, I'm sorry to interject. This is truly fascinating, but let me ask you some questions about this. To apply what you just taught to today, we now have, of course, over the last couple of decades, because of policies of Bill Clinton and others, we have massive deindustrialization of America. We have corporations like Toyota and John Deere and Ford and everybody else moving their manufacturing to Mexico. So even if there were strong local pro-labor, pro-family, pro-human movements right now, the industrial base does not even exist in America. And on top of that, Dr. Shiva, and I know you're aware of this, I'm not saying something you're not aware of, obviously, but you've got now Elon Musk saying, we're going to roll out humanoid robots, and he just showed them, you saw the videos, humanoid robots, everybody's going to want one. They're going to do, you know, 80% of the labor in your home, and they're going to replace the farm workers. Also, they're going to do agricultural work. They're going to work on the assembly lines. They're going to do the warehouse work. So, Dr. Shiva, aren't we now looking at an era where the same elite that you were just talking about, that don't give a crap about human beings, they're now at the tipping point where they are ready to exterminate and replace 70 to 80% of the human labor force on this planet?
Yeah, Mike. And so if you look at what I just said, connecting with what you just said, capitalism has evolved now to imperialism. It's not only within the shores of the United States, right?
That's right. Before, that's right.
It has now expanded to global capitalism, or called global imperialism. So the capitalist in the United States doesn't give a fuck about America. He's looking at where he can move labor to. So if anyone who runs a business, right, you have revenue, the expenses, and profit. The purpose of capitalism at one point in history was to advance human knowledge and innovation. Then it became all just about maximization of profit. The end state of that is to reduce expenses, you get more profit. So how did the American industrial companies do it? They said, okay, we're going to get rid of American workers. We're going to move it to China, now Vietnam, okay? Because the goal was to grow profit. And they're no longer a U.S.-based company. They're a transnational multi-level corporation all over the world, okay?
Right.
So it's not like they have loyalty to wave the American flag. That's all just bullshit. To the extent they do that, it's to just Americans feel good, so they get screwed, okay? So if you look at that period, getting back to what you said, between 1900 to 1970, this is what I want you to really understand and interconnect. It was the fact that we had a really solid bottoms-up labor movement, that there was a gun put to the elites, and they didn't fuck around. But this was hijacked by the collusion of the Democrats and Republicans. So by 1970, if you look at it, every aspect of American endeavor, education, science, industry, all of it became consolidated. Healthcare, all the people, it became highly centralized. So the healthcare, GPOs, the hospitals, the GPOs, and the pharmaceutical companies came together, right? Science became completely consolidated, five major universities. So you have consolidation in the 70s, and that consolidation, if you look from 1970 till today, Mike, just these numbers, you know how many strikes, real bottoms-up labor movements, strikes? And they're only 900, Mike, and maybe 2 million people participating. So the number of active people fighting for ourselves went down. So it was 11,000 strikes, 250 million people. Now it's 900 strikes, maybe 2 million people. The labor movement does not exist, except once in a while they do little pickets. There's no bottoms-up labor movement. And between 1970 to 2024, and you can look at the RAND report, they have a beautiful analysis, very nicely done, using very complex integrals, but they show that the wages of the first and second income quartile has been reduced, when you add up all those years, close to $47 trillion, Mike, that has gone upward. So during the pandemic, Trump made sure 600 billionaires got $2.3 trillion. So the movement of capital, the movement of wealth has gone, yeah, it's been so quote unquote socialism for the elites. So this is the dynamic, and this has directly happened, and this gets to your question, who do I vote for? This has directly happened because there's no longer any bottoms up movements as there were in the 1800s and 1900s when the American workers flex their arms. My job, my goal in life is to build this bottoms up movement, but not only in the United States, Mike, it gets to your point, because now labor all over the world is being exploited. And the goal is the elites are sitting back and they have their profit and loss statement. Wow, we're getting this much revenue. We're spending this much expense. We make this much profit. We've exploited the entire world. We moved shit to China. We moved here. Why the fuck do we need people? That's what they're wondering.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Because in their goal, it's about creating an Elysium for them. They're not looking at unleashing the innovation, the creativity, and the divineness of 8 billion people. They're looking at how can 500,000 of us or 500 million of us maximize profit. Well, why the fuck do we need to give healthcare? Why do we need to give Social Security? Fuck all that. We'll have robots. And the decision they're making now in their spreadsheets at MIT and Harvard and Yale is, how much does it take to manage a human being, a carbon-based being, versus a silicon-based being? That's what calculations are being done right now.
You're right. You're right.
And so the goal is you have to go back to fundamentals. We must build a bottoms-up movement. So when I decided to run for office, Mike, I've been studying this all my fucking life, man. I figured this shit out when I was 17. And I said, we must build bottoms-up movements. And to the extent, I never participated in electoral politics, but when you start looking at this, now you get to strategy and mechanics. How do we win? If you agree with what I'm saying, what occurred in the 1800s and 1900s must be resurrected, bottoms-up movements. How do we do that? Well, typically the way they tell you to do this, Mike, is, Shiva, go become a lawyer. Mike, go become a lawyer. Fight, right? Or get involved in the Democrats or Republicans, right? It's called electoralism or legalism. But there is a third way, which is building a bottoms-up movement. So my decision to run in this election was to mobilize people globally and locally to recognize we need to build that organization, Mike, of working people. So if you look at our organization now, 500,000 people, and our people are not None of them get paid, Mike. They're all IT workers or plumbers or electricians or mothers, nurses, a lot of nurses. And these people have come bottoms up. They go through the program. They understand the dynamics of what I'm just sharing with you. Wow, we have to build a movement. And as a part of that, they understand this dynamics, how the establishment suckers them into a Trump or a Kamala. This was the most important election, or a Bush or Clinton, right? Or, I mean, this has been going on forever. Oh my God, this is the most important election. They always create the drama. And it's all bullshit because it doesn't fucking matter whether Trump or Kamala gets arrested. They're both gonna fucking go for the land grab in the Middle East. So now you step back and you realize, how is this interconnected to what's going on right now in the genocide in Gaza and Ukraine? And this is what you realize, that at the same time the American working people in the early 1800s were rising up, guess what was also happening in Russia, Mike? In early 1900s, the Russian workers rose up, and it was a fucking bomb that went off. And we can have a longer discussion about that.
Okay, I do want to cover more about the Middle East here in a second, but let me push back on you. You said it doesn't matter whether it's Kamala or Trump.
It doesn't.
But I think it does matter domestically. And I agree with you that the foreign policy is exactly the same, but it does matter domestically.
It doesn't. So let's walk through it very
logically. Okay. All right. Tell me why you think it's the same domestically, because
it's the same fucking thing. You may get, okay, here's reality. Okay. Who fucking is the father of the vaccine, Mike?
Fauci.
Well, who promotes?
All right. So no, I disagree with Trump on Operation Warp Speed as well. And
no, but let's just do a simple scientific objective analysis. It was Trump. Okay.
All right. Trump kept Fauci in power. I completely agree. Trump put James Comey at the head of the FBI.
I have to go back to who was fucking running the White House. Who was running the White House?
Okay, that was Trump. That's right.
It was fucking the Zionist hoodlum Jared Kushner. Kushner was running the fucking White House, okay?
Okay.
Trump, fucking idiot. Did you see the producer of The Apprentice just came out? He said Trump was never a successful businessman. All of his companies failed, right? We created The Apprentice. You have to go back to Trump was an actor that was created by none other than what's his name? Wilbur Ross. When Trump's last company failed in Atlantic City, the Rothschilds, by the way, Wilbur Ross, go study him. He was the head of debt equity financing for the Rothschilds. They saw in Trump a fucking con man. He could manipulate people. They saw him with Worldwide Wrestling Federation, all this shit. He was an actor. So here his company fucking fails. Wilbur Ross goes in and he decides to bail his company out. Now, here's a guy who's taking 14, 15% loans, Mike. Would you ever do that? Who the fuck does that? He's a fucking moron. He's a businessman to the extent he's holding a phone like this. He wanted to be an actor. So they put Trump on a trajectory to become president of the United States. He was given Ari Emanuel, you know, part of the Emanuel family, Rahm Emanuel, Mossad fucking people. And he's one of Hollywood's most biggest agents. He got him book deals. He got him on The Apprentice. They put him on the path because he's one of their assets.
Well, but hold on. But clearly, the entire deep state tried to destroy Trump. They tried to assassinate him. They defamed him with the Russian collusion accusations during his first term.
Understand the Zionists.
His attorney general backstabbed him. Mike Pence backstabbed him. The entire time they were trying to stop Trump.
Let's really look at that, okay? Let's go look at that. Remember, if you and I both agree that what we see in mainstream news, the theatrics that we see, is done on purpose, right? Everything is given to us on purpose. All right. You know that I was a guy who did all the election integrity analysis, the deep shit from the ballot, from the showing how the machine switching took place, from the signature analysis and now ballot access. Well, what's really interesting is everyone, all the MAGAtards think, oh my God, Trump's election was stolen in 2020. The elections are selections. Agreed? Well, if elections are selections, how did Trump get into power in 2016? And immediately they say, oh, this was an exception to that rule. Right? This was an exception
to that. No, well, I would explain it that it was rigged for Hillary. But the unexpected popularity of Trump organically overcame the rigging for Hillary. That's why Hillary threw a fit. And that's why the deep state went insane. They messed up. They didn't rig it enough in 2016. That's why Trump won.
having looked at the data, I went and looked at the 2016 data. It was clear the election was given to Trump. And in fact, Hillary was complaining about it, and then she was silenced. Here's what the reality took place. And you should read the work of James Borfin. Okay? Remember, if we, Mike, you know what A/B testing is, right, in marketing?
Sure.
Okay. So I want you to consider that these presidential elections are no different than A/B testing. To people listening, if Mike, you're selling one of your products, right, for something, you come up with an ad campaign, and you will sometimes run one version of that ad for a week and another version of that ad, right? And then you compare the results, which ad pulled the most sales. And then you say, I'm going to go with this. Well, let go of your Democrat or Republican position. Consider any of these presidential candidates as A/B testing. Their goal is to find whoever can manipulate and deceive us, the plebs, the servants, to believe in this fucking system still. So they've done the A/B testing. Wow. Trump's pulling enough people. We need the white fucking working class to be manipulated so they don't revolt, because we're going to pull off a fucking pandemic. And who can help deceive them the most? Hillary? I don't think so, because people don't like her that much. They have the A/B testing data. Trump. We need Trump. And that's what occurred. And if you read the works of James Borfin that came out in the warrant when Roger Stone was arrested. So they used this Russia hoax to make Trump a martyr. But the reality was, it was Netanyahu who put Trump into power. And it's all right there if you read the. So within the Russia hoax, which they completely redacted, including Mueller, is the fact that it was Israel which put Trump into power.
Well, and Israel is clearly wanting to put Trump into power again. I mean, that's crystal clear at this point.
In 2016, they put him into power. You have to understand that Obama and Kerry and even Hillary weren't all into Netanyahu, okay? They had their whatever differences, their imperial differences, right? Among their
imperial differences, right? Yeah.
They didn't like his smell, or they didn't like his wife, whatever the fuck happened, right? These people hang out in their Christmas parties. One person rubbed them wrong, but they didn't give them the right scarf or whatever shit took place, okay? That kind of shit happens, okay? With these people, and I've been around them. That's what happens.
Yep.
They have sometimes very petty differences. Now, Trump, through Roger Stone, negotiation took place that he would agree to two important things in 2016. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
Right, which did occur.
And he would fuck up Iran. Okay? Why?
With now, sanctions? Or the assassination of Soleimani, or both? Or what are you saying?
Well, he would fuck up the nuclear agreement for Iran.
Okay? Oh, okay, okay.
Now, why? This is now you can interconnect the whole. Why? Again, go back to what I just shared with you. Workers' revolutions took place, right, in the early 1800s for working people globally. In Russia, there was also a workers' revolution. And that workers' revolution came to Russian people, who were the people who fought Hitler, Mike. Hitler was supported by Western imperialism.
That's true.
Okay? 25 million fucking Russians died. 2 million just in the Battle of Stalingrad.
I think it was way more than 25 million, but you're right. Yeah, I get your point.
25 million. It wasn't America which won World War II. That's bullshit. Even though I'm an American, you have to give credit where it's due.
No, Russia defeated Hitler. That's obvious. That's clear.
Right. Yes. Now, it was the Russian people, but it was a great blow to Western imperialism. That was, you know, in 1940, 1950, right? Right after that, Mike, concomitant with what I'm telling with you with the 1970s period, the elites sitting here do not want workers rising up in America, and they do not want workers rising up anywhere in the world to determine our own destiny. Now, in the soul of the Russian people is still the revolution that took place and the fighting that they did against the Nazis. So what is the natural resource value of Russia, Mike? What do you think it is?
It's massive. I mean, the energy value, the mineral value.
Yeah, what is it? Pick a number.
$400 trillion. That's just my
75 trillion. Okay, being conservative.
Hey, yeah, okay. I'm in the right order of magnitude.
Yes. What is the U.S. thing? 45 trillion. Okay.
Okay.
What is Iran? So ooh. 75 trillion is Russia. U.S. is around 45 trillion. What is Iran? Believe it or not, Iran's around $30 trillion.
Okay. You know that? No. Okay. Didn't know.
Venezuela's around 10 trillion. China's around 20 trillion. So in 1970, a Zionist fucking scumbag by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, you may remember him, Carter's advisor, they're looking at this monopoly board and they're saying, fuck, We can never let American workers rise up. Again, profit and loss, not good for us. And in the soul of the Russian people, Russia is too fucking big. They're uncontrollable. They're not under Western imperial control.
Right.
So Zbigniew Brzezinski came out with a plan. I forget the name of it. I think it was called NCC, but it was, we must split up Russia into three big chunks. The Eurasia chunk, Europe part of Russia, the Siberian part of Russia, the middle and the far eastern part. And the goal was to chop up Russia, conduct wars, and destabilize Russia. Even if we got one third of it, Mike, they get 25 trillion. You say?
True.
Even if we invest a trillion fucking bucks. Well, 25x return, right? To 2500% return, right? We're going to do it.
Hence the encroachment of NATO and the overthrow of Ukraine and all of that.
They installed Gorbachev in there, right?
Yep.
Fucked up Soviet Union. Then they encroached NATO. Bush clearly said, we're never going to go one inch east of Germany. And they started encroaching.
Of course.
Right. So now, if you look at what's happening in Ukraine and here and the Middle East, the goal was put in place. We're going to install our own dictator into Ukraine. We want to destabilize Russia. Zelensky, all these fucking people.
Victoria Nuland, that's her master plan. Yeah.
Right. Victoria Nuland, the Maiden Revolution, Obama, McCain, Hillary Clinton, all these people.
That's right. Okay.
The eastern part of, and you have to think about the amount of mineral resources at that time, Shell, Exxon, and everywhere in the eastern part of Ukraine, because they wanted, because Condoleezza Rice's part of this entire global plan, because she was also a student of Zbigniew Brzezinski, was we want to make sure that Russia's oil platform, energy platform, is decapitated. We can't have Russia selling oil and gas to Europe.
And that's why the U.S. destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines and promised they would. Right. That's just a small part of it, yeah.
Right, but before that, they were mining for oil, Exxon, in the eastern part of Ukraine, Donetsk and those regions, and they were going to pump it up. Well, Putin caught a hold of this. He fucked that up. He stopped that, and he went after Ukraine because of what he saw as a threat to Russia. Now, the globalists, the Zionists, the swarm, is looking at this, and they realize, if you see what Lloyd, whatever the hell his name is, Secretary of State?
Austin.
Lloyd Austin. Yeah,
of the Pentagon.
Yeah, the first thing that he said out of the Pentagon, we must wear out Russia. So that process, when it all rolls out, was to have Russia fighting on two fronts, Mike. One front would be Ukraine, and the other front would be the Middle East. So here is Netanyahu, here is Mossad. We all know for a fact that Hamas was created by goddamn Mossad.
That's true. They were funded by Israel.
Right. Now, there are true revolutionary fighters probably on the ground for the Palestinian people, but they created another group called Mossad. Hamas. And so the goal was to bring Iran into this conflict because Iran's is a proxy for Russia. So if Iran comes in, Russia's going to have to fight two wars, Mike. They're going to have to fight in Ukraine over right here. They're going to have to fight here. And what's going to end up? You're going to have to weaken Russia. That's the goal.
I track with you so far. I mean, everything you've said is correct. The goal is to weaken Russia, overthrow it, and then pillage it to take over the resources of Russia, exactly like you say. But right. Ukraine's done. Ukraine's done at this point. Germany has cut off all additional weapons to Ukraine. Ukraine's run out of men. Ukraine's run out of weapons. NATO can't manufacture enough to keep up with Russia's industrial output. Ukraine's practically done. I mean, so Ukraine's going to have to sign a surrender agreement within a few months.
So what did Mark Rutte say, the head of NATO? Did you see what he just said 3 days ago?
No.
He said, we cannot lose the war in Ukraine. And he goes, I'm pleased to report, whether it's Trump or Kamala, Trump has assured me that he will continue the policies in Ukraine. Okay? That's Mark Rutte, the head of
okay, NATO. But it doesn't matter because you can print money, but you can't print munitions.
Right, right.
You can't print men, you know?
Right. So my point at the end of the day is Russia is a goal to weaken it. So they're going to prolong the war in Ukraine. They'll figure out a way to do it, Mike. Okay, that's the goal. But they must start the war in the Middle East
right
to bring in Iran, because once Iran comes in, Russia will have to defend Iran. Russia just yesterday signed a defense pact with China.
You're right. I saw that. And Israel says it's going to hit Iran before Election Day. And the U.S. ridiculously says, this is Biden and the State Department says, we might withhold weapons from Israel in 30 days if they continue to bomb civilians. But that's just empty promises.
So they're going to, all these countries, including the Arab countries, by the way, who've sold out the Palestinians, okay? Turkey and all these people. So they're going to withhold stuff for their public, Mike, because they got to keep public perception, okay? Because people are seeing the obvious genocide. So they say, okay, we're not going to send you weapons. Because the French people are highly revolutionary activists.
True.
Macron is doing this because he's going to have his people rising up against him. Erdogan, he doesn't give a fuck about. I mean, Erdogan has huge relationships with Israel, okay?
Yeah, yeah, transport pipelines. He makes billions off energy.
All of these imperial leaders, their people are rising up, going to overthrow them. So to the extent they say stuff in behalf of the Palestinian people, I mean, you should have done that on fucking October 7th, right? Why are you doing that now?
Well, so, Erdogan's not going to do jack. He's never going to do a thing. He's just going to talk.
Well, he is a scumbag. He plays both sides, gets enough for himself. So the bottom line is the elites need a massive war, and they need that war. Biden was the stopgap that they needed to conduct this war, just like Trump was a stopgap to do the pandemic, because had Hillary done it, there would have been a revolution in the United States. They needed
white
guy talking MAGA, helping the working class, and he fucked them. Trump fucked all of us, okay? People say, well, Trump never did a war. He did a fucking war on us. That's what he did, all right? And he printed $8 trillion, the same amount Obama did in 2 terms, Trump did in 1 term.
It was way more than a trillion.
It was 8 trillion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said 8 trillion.
And oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
I said 8 trillion. And then he transferred about, 2.3 trillion to Bezos, Elon Musk. Elon Musk was relatively a peon before the pandemic. After the pandemic, he gets $200 billion in his bank account. And what is Elon Musk doing? Elon Musk just got a $2 billion contract from the government to build an entire spy network with Starlink.
That's so true.
Government is outsourcing spying, surveillance, censorship to private companies, which
that's
is
true.
What lawsuit exposed. So that's the role of this doofus Elon Musk. He doesn't know how to build anything. Every fucking company did fail. He went to Tesla and he had them rewrite the founders' documents. Elon Musk doesn't know how to fucking get a rocket off the ground. All the former NASA engineers and military engineers are working at Starlink now. This is a military fucking operation that's going on.
Yeah, clearly. And the robots are also going to be weaponized. Clearly.
They're going to be weaponized for Soviet. So you have these doofuses thinking this fool, and that's what he is some hero. He's not a fucking hero. And you have Trump and Elon Musk working like this. And Sheldon Adelson's wife, Miriam Adelson, who got the medal of the American medal, just gave Trump another $100 million.
Yeah, so another $100 million.
Yeah. Right. And Trump has said that he will put anyone who attacks Israel in fucking gulags. All right. And he said that. So there's no difference.
Okay.
Mike, this is the point. The elites over here, the swarm, is looking who can deceive you. Oh, we got Mike Adams with Trump. He's the better deceiver. Oh, Kamala's over here. They're getting data to see who can deceive masses of people better. And in the background, policies will continue as usual. Kamala will be used to do a liberal Zionism, okay? Trump will be used to do a more authoritarian Zionism. You see, they're just figuring out which flavor will people like. Do they want Coke with a little bit of root beer? Do they want Coke plain? That's all this is, Mike.
Okay, or in Kamala's case, does she want Coke in the White House? But the thing is,
right, but
Kamala is way worse than everything that you've described here, though. The Democrats are...
What is way worse? Let's talk about way worse.
The Biden regime has incarcerated a peaceful American protesters, the J6 people. I'm sorry?
Well, yeah. So what did Trump do for J6 people? Did he raise... What happened to his... The new book that came out, he raised $500 million off my work, Mike, on election integrity. Do you know how... Yes, all the
really?
Work... He would send out emails. And what did he do with $500 million? The receipts show that he only spent $9 million on lawyers. Where did $500 million fucking dollars go?
Don't
Trump
know.
Has made him and his family have made close to $2.3 billion fucking dollars, Mike. This is not he gave up his work. His businesses are bogus businesses.
Well, do you think that Trump will keep any of the major promises that he's making right now, like securing the border or going after the actual traitors that need to be criminally prosecuted in America?
Here's my simple answer. Fuck no. He's not. Okay.
Okay.
He fucked up Hillary. lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. I gave interviews to the New York Times in 2015 saying this woman should be locked up because I was asked as the email expert, how does a fucking person put a server in their home? She should have been locked up. It was obvious. I've talked to State Department officials. They said this was fucked up. So Trump didn't lock up anyone. Trump has messaging people, Mike. It's A-B marketing. Say this, say this, say this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this now. Oh, I'm going to do this now. I don't believe in centralized digital bank currency. Meanwhile, he's got Elon working on that. Okay? You cannot fucking trust this guy. Kamala Harris is a different marketer, acting all nice, the black woman, the Indian woman, right? Speaking softly with word salads. That's a different marketing segment. They are both here to fuck us up because they're both Zionist cocksuckers.
On that point, an area where I strongly agree with you is what it's highly disturbing when Trump gives speeches with surrounded by Israeli flags. Behind him, he's got an American flag in the middle, Israeli flags on both sides. There are more Israeli flags in the frame than American flags. And I'm thinking, like, which country is this guy supposed to be working for?
Well, there's some people say Trump converted to Judaism. I mean, look, it's fucking Kushner who's running this. Kushner said, you know, Gaza would be a great place to build in Lebanon, you know, hotels and shit. Do you understand?
He did say that.
This guy is? I went to the same high school that Kushner did in Livingston, New Jersey. It's a bunch of fucking Zionists. His father got him into Harvard when he was going to school right down the street here, Mike. While he was at school, he was buying slumlords. We all know real estate is all about getting bank loans. And there's a process you do to acquire land grab. So genocide is just another vehicle to get land grab for nothing. You put 18 billion. So here's Israel. The U.S. Congress, which is owned by fucking Israel or the swarm, gives 18 billion to Israel. Israel conducts genocide, land grabs, acquires more wealth, and it dishes it out to its investors.
Yeah.
Right? That's what this is.
And the offshore oil and gas.
Offshore oil. But it's about land grab, greater right. Israel. You have to understand this is about land grab. Trump is a fucking dope. Kamala Harris is a fucking dope.
Well,
for marketing, we shouldn't be involved in their marketing. So why? How do we measure victory? The victory, Mike, going back to the 1800s and the 1900s, is do we want to build a bottoms up movement? And guys like you, and this is why I put that tweet out there. You have a set of followers. They respect you. You must tell them we fucking must build a bottoms up movement. This is all bullshit. And by sending a defiant message, vote for Dr. Shiva, write in Dr. Shiva. We're saying a big fuck you. And we must say fuck you. And if you don't say fuck you now, when are you going to say fuck you later? Because every fucking election is always going to be dramatic. 2020, okay, so this is going to be the last major election. Let me finish.
Yep.
Every election, Mike, they come with some major issue. Oh my God, this is a major election. This is a major election. They have this down to a theater, so we suck up to them. I mean, there's a reason that they keep doing this with such recurrent process. They do not want us to build bottoms up movement. So look at let me give you victory. We only raised $50,000, Mike. Are you aware of that? Only $50,000. We're now on the ballot, and we got on the ballot in 13 states, Mike. Massachusetts is the most hardest ballot to get on. 20,000 fucking signatures, and you have to send it to 350 towns, gather them. Okay. Booby Kennedy raised fucking $20+ million. He only filed one ballot access case. I have filed 6 ballot access cases. One of them is going to the Supreme Court with no fucking lawyers, Mike. This is truly bottoms up. What we're doing is a victory. The fact that we got on nearly every ballot as with all electors, which is huge. In California, we're very close. We need 108 electors, even for a write-in to be counted. This is heroic, Mike.
All right, so a practical question.
Yeah.
Dr. Shiva, practical question.
To get on the ballot.
In most states, then, people would need to write in your name to vote for you, right?
So
what I'm saying is, how exactly do they need to write you in so that it counts? Because they're...
Good question, Mike. Right. So the Supreme Court has ruled it has to do with intent, okay? So if they write in Dr. Shiva, that works, okay?
That works.
They can put in Shiva.
Okay.
They can put in my last name, Ayadure. By the law, the good news is every write-in vote gets kicked out of the machines, Mike, and it's hand-counted. And we have the right to get FOIA, okay?
Uh-huh.
The issue is every person who writes this in, Mike, you know what that is? That's a highly conscious person. That person is saying, fuck you. I have figured you out.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that is a victory. That is a huge victory. And that is why in New Jersey, Kamala Harris, we got on the ballot, Mike, legally. We did everything. Our electors got on the ballot. Remember, I'm not running for president in any state. Neither is Trump or Harris. It's the electors. So the electors say that in the event that they are elected as a slate, then on December 17th, they'll vote for me. And on January 6th, that will be counted. This is very important to understand. Very, very important to understand. So the electors in New Jersey, hardworking American workers, 18 of them got on the ballot, pledged to me. After we got on the ballot, Mike, we fulfilled every statutory requirement. Then Kamala Harris as a Democratic Party say, oh, he's not natural born. He can't run for the office, which is illegal. Running, being natural born is to hold the office, okay? Not conducting insurrection is to hold the office. Now, if you remember the lawsuit Trump versus Anderson, they threw Trump off the ballot in Colorado. And the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. Even an insurrectionist can run for office, even though it's not for the qualifications to hold the office. That's called premature adjudication and enforcement of the qualifications against the electors. So, hey, I'm naturalized. Natural born is never fucking defined. Think about the historic thing we did. I'm on the ballot now in 13 states I legally got on, Mike, as the first naturalized citizen. Why isn't that in every goddamn newspaper?
Because right, good point.
If I get on TV or radio, it's over for Trump and Kamala. They don't want me, my passion, my intelligence coming up. People say, that's a motherfucker we want as president. What the fuck? This guy invented email. He came from bottoms up. What the fuck has Trump done?
Well, let me share something. Okay, Dr. Shiva, I've got an announcement to share with you that it's actually already gone live. I had decided this before this conversation today. I put it in my podcast that aired a few hours ago. And my decision is because I went through a very deep moral introspection process about this. Morally, I cannot allow my soul to be attached to complicity in genocide. So I announced this. You probably haven't had a chance to hear it yet, but I announced that if Trump does not denounce the genocide of Israel, and he must use the word genocide, that I will not vote for him, and I will write you in my vote in Texas. And on top of that, if Senator Ted Cruz does not announce genocide in Israel, I will not vote for Senator Ted Cruz because I'm tired of him celebrating Israel. I made that decision before this conversation, Dr. Shiva. And
so let me just repeat that. So everyone should understand Mike Adams has said that he will vote for me and write me in. And by the way, we have 40 electors. We have a great leader there. His name is Ryan Shea. You should connect with Ryan. And it took us a lot of effort to get on the ballot. And my votes will be counted, Mike. But it is a vote of morality that we're talking about. How can we be Christians? I'm a deep follower of Christ. Christ would spit on the fucking Zionists. He would take a whip to them.
Oh, no question. No question about it.
Trump and Kamala, okay? So you cannot be a Christian and vote for these fucking people who have openly said, one fucking scumbag, Booby fucking Kennedy. And by the way, Mike, I liked your post that you did on the Fruit Loop shit, okay?
Yes.
Here's Booby fucking Kennedy who bangs every woman. He banged all of the anti-vaccine women, cheats on his wife. And now CHD did a bogus fucking study, right? To actually fuck up the real medical freedom movement and the work that you and I do, right?
The study was atrociously bad. I ripped it apart in an article.
We should do a follow-up on that. But this is what happens, Mike, in every movement, election integrity, medical freedom, environment. The real people do the real honest work to expose the establishment. The CIA and Mossad and the deep state get people like CHD, get people like these scumbags in election integrity, like even Mike Lindell. And they make up shit that's not even real. That they do wackadoodle shit that opens it up for the swarm to attack us, Mike.
Yeah.
That's what this is. It's a recurrent, it's called the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at fucking Trump and you look at Kamala Harris, I mean, you could say Kamala Harris, by the way, I don't believe in the lesser of evils. She at least didn't attend Netanyahu's event. Okay, Trump had him over the house, had dinner fucking with him. Okay, Mar-a-Lago. We have to understand that both of these people are serving Zionism.
Well, that's clear.
We said if I become president, my Secretary of State is going to be a woman called Cynthia McKinney. Well, who is Cynthia McKinney? The only black woman who made it to Congress who started exposing AIPAC, and she was thrown out of Congress. You can look her up.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw your announcement.
Cynthia endorsed me, and I said, Cynthia, you should be the Secretary of State in my administration. Well, Jill Stein, another fucking really snaky liberal Zionist, when Cynthia McKinney said that Israel was involved in 9/11, and by the way, Cynthia McKinney was the Green Party's, I think, VP candidate, Jill Stein said she's anti-Semitic. You see that? At the end of the day, if she's conflating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. So Jill fucking Stein is a goddamn anti-Semite. I mean, an anti-Zionist. I mean, pro-Zionist. Sorry, pro-Zionist. So the fact that we exposed Kennedy, Kennedy had to run over to the establishment wings, Republican, Democrat. So they've created a new, to fill that vacuum so we don't own that space. They now they're promoting Jill Stein, the Green Party, is a DNC elite, Mike. That's who it is.
Yeah, well, clearly, Jill Stein is insane on climate issues and so much more. But I'm incensed by, like, RFK Jr. will post out, oh, great job, let's go protest Kellogg's. Let's talk about red dye in Fruit Loops, it's the most important thing. It's just theater. It's just theater. And that's what I've said publicly. I said, I bet you the children in Gaza would love to have a bowl of freaking Fruit Loops right now because they're dying because of the Zionists starving them to death. It's an Israeli holodomor. I've said that publicly, and you've probably seen that. But I decided, just to be clear, Dr. Shiva, I decided I cannot, because I believe God judges us. I believe God judges us in our book of life. I do not want my soul tainted with support for someone who's going to send more bombs to murder more children. That's my issue. But I will say,
I think the 70 million Christians are out there, very nice people who have been hijacked. They're Christian preachers and their pastors who all report, by the way, to Israel. They all go to doing these Israel tours.
They do.
All of them. They don't even know what the fuck Israel is. They don't even know what Zionism is. They're all Christian Zionists. So all of you Christian Zionists, hardworking people, I know many of these people, right? Hispanic Christian Zionists, right? All of, you know, white Christian Zionists, black Christian Zionists, if you're a fucking Christian and you truly believe in Christ, you cannot be supporting Zionism and the destruction and talk about Armageddon coming and all this stuff, okay?
That's right. That's right. You cannot support Zionism if you're a true Christian. That's absolutely true.
So that, to me, Mike, what's wonderful about this, unfortunately wonderful, about this issue of Zionism, it's a very clear line in the sand. It's a very clear line. And you and so the victory here, Mike, is you cannot vote for fucking Zionists.
You cannot. No. And I will not. I will not vote for Zionists, but I'm going to let Trump make that decision. So let me be clear. If Trump denounces Israel's genocide before Election Day, I'm voting for Trump. If he does not, I'm going to write in your name. And I wish I could take a picture of it, but I already tried that before. They won't let you take a picture in the ballot when you're filling out the ballots in Texas.
Well, it's your ballot. We've told people to take pictures and we're going to create a site where people can load them up. So we track everything.
Well, I'll try. I'll try to take a picture.
But
see if they stop me. But, do you think Trump will denounce Israel before Election Day?
Well, here's the deal. He may say anything to win anything. The issue is, what will he do? And do you have faith that he will cut funding to Israel? That's the issue. The issue is, Mike, you have to sit down with your God and Christ Almighty, and you have to say, do I believe Trump will remove military aid to Israel? That's the fundamental question.
Well, it is a question, but morally, God does not hold us responsible for other people's lies if we ourselves act in good faith. So if I believe that Trump is going to, if he denounces Israel, and I believe he's going to make good on that, and I vote for him, God does not hold me accountable if Trump ends up lying. But if I know he's a liar and I vote for him, then I am held accountable.
Yeah,
it's intent.
Mike, you know how Trump does these statements? Oh, it's awful what's going on in Gaza. We got to stop the killing. He's made statements like that.
He said, finish the job.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He said, finish the fucking job.
Yeah, that means more bombs.
Right. And he said, nuke Iran's. Nuke Iran's nuclear facilities. So
that's insane. That's insane.
I think we're at a point in history where when you have someone like me running, committed to mobilizing people bottoms up and raising people's consciousness, every person who comes to that state of consciousness, Mike, even if we get 5%, that's a goddamn victory, Mike.
If 5% would be huge.
Yeah, if we get 5 million people defying this and voting for me through write-in or direct, that's a victory. That means we have 5 million molecules in this very complex human consciousness vibrating at a very different level. That's power, Mike. And if those 5 million people can affect 100 people in their neighborhood, that's 100 million people, Mike. That's every household. So that's what victory is measured by. You can look at the numbers. The American Revolution was not conducted by everyone. It was around 3 to 5% of the people.
That's true. Yes.
But if you look at a system, if you look at a pond of water, a still pond of water, in order to get a standing wave, you don't need a boulder.
That's right.
Enough pebbles, dropping small pebbles in different locations, and you'll get a standing wave. Okay? That's what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. The amplification of the votes for you, which is it's a protest vote against the system. I get that. It can be huge, but I just want to say for the record, I don't agree with everything that you've said about Trump. I don't have 100% agreement with you, but I do think that you are right on every big issue of our time: climate, economics, currency and finance, Zionism and war, all of those issues. I think you've been 100% in my book on those issues, and you can quote me on that. And I think that's where it matters, because we are living in a time where the globalists are trying to literally exterminate us through, you know, sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere, you know, for one thing, and destroying the value of our currency, which destroys the savings of the workers and so on. You've been right on every one of those issues, and you're right about Zionism, and you're right about Israel. So I agree with you 100% on those.
What we've done is we've distilled our message. It took a long time. If I don't know if one of your producers can bring up ShebaForPresident.com, if they can do that.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it up here.
If you bring it up, Mike, and go to the front page, you'll see the future is offline, Mike, because Elon Musk watches all the shit we do, and they know how to keep us in a digital cage.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system, and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities, and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white, have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption, and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued our lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. We're lines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment, to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. they think will fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and choke piles who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the way, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. My journey, your journey are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health. Tree on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
Agreement with you. But I do think that you are right on every big issue of our time. Climate, economics, currency and finance, Zionism and war, all of those issues. I think you've been 100% in my book on those issues. And you can, through sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere, for one thing, and destroying the value of our currency, which destroys the savings of the workers and so on. You've been right on every one of those issues, and you're right about Zionism, and you're right about Israel. So I agree with you.
President.com, if they can do that.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it up here.
If you bring it up, Mike, and go to the front page, you'll see the future is offline, Mike, because Elon Musk watches all the shit we do, and they know how to keep us in a different.
Right there, file down. Okay, got it.
And if you click on download, scroll down, we've open sourced this. So if you see this right there, so look at our message, Mike. It says, save yourself. There's no one coming to save you. So we have volunteers outside in malls, train stations handing this out. Our slogan is, do you want to save yourself? Now look at the back of the card, Mike. It's a 3x5 card. It's like a business card. If you bring that up, the back of the card has a very simple message. They are killing you.
Yes.
Scatter the swarm. And if you look at that, lifespan is going up. Cost of living is going down. Now people.
You mean point, cost of living is going up.
Right. And then the reason, you know how you bring cost of living down, Mike? Cut all funding to Israel, castrate them.
Because yeah, true.
Because all of that funding to Israel and all the wars we do is based on printing of money. So when you print money, you do devalue the dollar.
That's right.
So if you want to bring down cost of living, that's what you do. But I think we're at a point of no return relative to global imperialism, Mike. They're on a locomotive path to land grab, to reduce human population. They don't see it as China or India. They see it as a economy that they must exploit at all levels. The American worker doesn't mean anything. The Chinese worker doesn't matter. Workers don't matter. It's about maximization of profit.
Right. But I believe this imperialism of the West, though, is on its last legs. It's going to fail. It's a self-immolation system.
I think we should be careful because you know how fractals work? You have these systems at work. They may, the elites are very, very, very clever. They may resurrect themselves into a new phase.
True.
Right?
Yep.
So nothing is guaranteed. The destiny comes down, as to what we do. They're on their path to depopulate the world, to create a new Elysium for themselves, maybe about 500,000 or 500 million people, right? Robots running it, and we don't exist, right?
That's right. That's their goal.
They could create a global imperialist world where they achieve that, okay? And they wipe out the rest of humanity. There's another opportunity. I think the Earth can have lots of people. I think it's underestimated, right? You have 8 billion people. How many other people are there like you and I, Mike, that can innovate, that can create, right? Billions of people. But they contain human innovation to a finite set of people. The wondrous things that we could make. How many other young 14-year-old kids are there who could invent email and TV or do businesses like you did, Mike? Many people. So they see 8 billion people as vermin, Mike. I see 8 billion people as potential resources that can create amazing things. They don't see it that way, Mike. They see 8 billion people that we must bring that down to around 500,000,000 people. And we must exploit and take as much land as we can get. So that trajectory may too also occur, Mike. The only thing that's here is what we decide to do, Mike, the decisions we make. If we say, you know what, I understand this dynamic, I understand the physics, and they understand everything I'm talking because I know at MIT they've done game theory models on this. So they have those models. The Club of Rome did that model. You can find it, done by Jay Forrester. They have population going up and coming down after 2030, okay, precipitously. They have done their models. They know the systems dynamic of those. We're going to promote a different kind of world. So the issue is we're at an important point, not on an election, but Who will be our leaders? Whose consciousness, whose values will we adopt? And that's the victory here. And everyone who gets these things you and I are talking about, we're going to take the world into a different direction. And that's why we say we must shatter the swarm, Mike. So we're at a point of human consciousness. Do we want to be true Christians? Do we want to be true Hindus talking about divinity? Do we want to be true, you know, people who talk about in any religion talking about God? And do we want to manifest that on this planet here and now? Does the word match the flesh? You say?
Right.
That's what this is about.
I do see, because yes.
We will surely get that satanic world that they will want, a purely materialistic world where it's a hedonist world for them, Mike.
Yeah.
And that also is an option. Not, in my view, nothing is guaranteed. You get up every day, Mike, you got to work your butt off, right? You got to do this and you got to do this. If you just sat around, Mike, your business is gone, right? We have to work. So the issue is collectively, we have to raise our consciousness to that standard. If enough people get there, and that's why the victory is the fact with less than 50 fucking grand, Mike, we got on all these ballots. We've mobilized a movement.
That's amazing.
50 grand, Mike? Think about what we could have done with fucking 5 million.
I know.
I could have quit this fucking election.
That really is extraordinary, what you've done with such a small amount of resources. That so shows,
I encourage everyone, you know, tonight, you can go to vashiva.com/orientation. Every Thursdays, we do orientation. It's an open house. You will meet who our people are. They're everyday people from bottoms up. I mean, we have...
Wait, which site do people go to for that?
They go to vashiva.com/orientation. You can bring that up, Mike. vashiva.com, and it's where you sign up. You get RSVP, you come to our open house. vashiva.com/orientation.
Okay, okay, vashiva.com/orientation. I've got it. Here it is. Yeah, registration for open house.
Open house. Okay. People come. We do it live. It's a Zoom thing. People join us, right? You meet people. We hear new people. People get to meet all of our volunteers from all over the planet. And now we're doing local community groups also, Mike. And by the way, Mike, if you go to vashiva.com/cards, you'll see this is global. vashiva.com/cards. You will see that anyone in the world can download these cards, vashiva.com/cards, if you can bring that up.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing it up here.
Right. So it says, Dr. Shiva, learn to fight back. So that's in English. Go down. That's in Spanish. Okay. Keep going down. We did it in Tamil, which is one of the big languages in India. Keep going down. Okay.
Wow. Cool.
All right. It's in every language. So we have people all over the world getting this message out. They want to fucking kill you. Okay. That's in Finnish. Scandinavia.
No kidding.
Yes, it's in Japanese. It's in all these languages.
Wow.
So our goal is we know that a movement cannot just occur in one country anymore. Because let's say there was a real bottoms up movement here, we would get crushed by the other countries, like what happened in Russia. Okay. So we have to build a global movement, Mike. So we're taking this very seriously. So my running for office in the United States gives us an opportunity to start looking at what quality of leaders do we want. And as long as you recognize they're going to do whatever the fuck they want, they already have it planned out. And the issue is, who will you swallow? Are you going to drink Coke or are you going to drink Pepsi? Which is going to be that both are going to rot your intestines out, okay?
Well, I require our leaders to behave with morality. And that's where I'm aligning with you on this rejection of the system, because I believe that we spiritually tie ourselves to those that, you know, that we are complicit in supporting. And this is why I can't go along with those who are pro-genocide. And, you know, frankly, Israel, as far as I'm concerned, Israel should be demilitarized by the United States or anybody who's willing to do the job. Israel should be defunded, and Israel should be removed from United Nations recognition. It should no longer be recognized as a member of the international community. I can't morally support anybody who continues to support Israel. And when I look at what Trump is doing and what Senator Cruz is doing and Governor Abbott of Texas, they lick the boots of Israel daily, celebrating only Israel, but not even celebrating the people of Texas with that degree. It's well, sickening to me.
They're ultra Zionist, Mike. They're ultra fucking Zionist cocksuckers. I think you were being very kind to talking them licking the boots. It's worse than that. And these people do not love the American people. They do not care about anyone at a fundamental level. If you look at the amount of money laundering that we don't even know how much money gets sent to Ukraine, how it gets funneled back to these senators, how it goes through AIPAC, the level of money laundering, we will never know. These people are all very clever lawyers. True. They know how to hide stuff. They know how to create trusts. We can't even compete with them.
That's true. It is a global money laundering operation.
Massive money laundering operation.
So kickbacks to the family foundations, kickbacks to the daughter or son running a consulting business that does consulting for the campaign. Yeah.
So many ways. I mean, the amount of wealth. I mean, you saw Ivanka and Jared get invited to a $150 million wedding in India. You know this, right? The Ambanis are the wealthiest family in India.
No, I don't. I didn't know that.
Their fat fuck son marries some woman, right? I mean, these are arranged marriages, right? Family marriages. And Jared and Ivanka and the Kardashians are there. we're talking about a global elite, Mike.
Yeah, clearly.
And the amount, and Jared wants to be a trillionaire. That's what he's about. That's what he's about, Mike. He really believes genocide is how you get real estate for no money down.
That's completely insane.
I mean, if you saw the book cover I created at 4 a.m. a couple of days ago.
I think I did see that cover because you posted it.
It's a great book cover, okay? It said, and people thought it was a real book cover. It says forward by Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, okay? But it may seem fucking funny, but in ancient times, you just went and killed people and you took their land. We created a little bit of civilization, said, Mike, if you want to buy that land, you can get a bank loan, you can buy, right? That was just for us plebes, Mike, to make us appear civilized. But these people are highly brutal, uncivilized fucking people. They literally see the Palestinians as vermin, on a rat's ass, on an elephant's ass, right?
Well, yeah, and the point is, if people like, if Senator Ted Cruz or Governor Abbott or Trump, if they believe that it's legally and morally okay for Israel to slaughter people and take their land and resources, then what would stop them from coming to the same conclusion about a group in America that they don't like?
Right. So the goal, so if you look at what Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. It's a political ideology that is created that says a small set of people are better than everyone else.
That's right? Exactly what it is.
Nazism did the same thing. Indian Hinduism, Brahmanism did the same thing to my people, the lower caste. Now, why is these kinds of political ideologies done? So they can mentally, right? Manifest Destiny was about butchering the Indians, right? Once you create some philosophical political ideology, and by the way, you always connect it to religion, right? To give it some oomph, then you can justify the exploitation of other people. You can justify expropriating other people's land. You can justify genocide. You're saying, oh, they're nobody. They're like lesser people. They're not even humans. And that's why these political ideologies, that's why I said Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. Brahmanism is racism in the service of imperialism. Nazism is racism in the service of imperialism. So was Manifest Destiny. These are philosophies that were created to justify seizing land, taking resources.
That's right.
And that's what they are. This is what's so powerful about what Christ said. You counter that to the teachings of Christ. That's fucking completely different.
Clearly.
Christ's message was not about taking other people's stuff.
No.
It was about being of service to humanity. It was about you will be judged. It was about being a kind human being. It was about healing others, being compassionate. So all these fucking Christians who talk about Christ, you spit on Christ's words.
Well, if they support Zionism, they are spitting on Christ. No question about it. And these Christian Zionist preachers that keep advocating more bombs, more money for Israel, supporting Israel at any cost, they are the Antichrist. Okay. They violate Christ's teachings. And by the way, I saw RFK Jr. say in a tweet that said that he supports Israel, I think unconditionally, or something synonymous with that
Imagine
word.
How much shit they must have on him, what he's doing with Epstein to kids. They have a lot of shit on.
I don't know about all that, but I'm just saying that you say unconditionally, listen, Dr. Sheba, God does not even support people unconditionally. God requires good behavior to get into heaven. God has discernment between good and evil, but RFK doesn't, and our own senator doesn't. The, no discrimination between good and evil. What is that? It's not acceptable.
I'll give you an interesting story. My vice presidential candidate, very nice woman, very hardworking woman, Crystal Ellis, told me a very interesting story. You know, when the, all the medical freedom movements were talking, she was involved with that with another woman, I forget her name, and she was the one who really developed those movements in Nebraska, okay? She's the one who created all the medical freedom signs. Well, the Children's Health Defense Fund and RFK, by the way, vultures, they saw her doing well. They swooped in and they said, oh, we want to support you. All right, so they decide to have one of these medical freedom events in Nebraska, in Omaha. Well, so there's a big stage and this woman is behind one part of the stage and she suddenly screams. Well, RFK was trying to bang her, okay?
What?
Yeah. So now that woman rejected him and was going to come out. What RFK did and the entire group there was they said she's a drunk. They completely destroyed her. Okay. Stole all of her stuff, Mike, and made it put it under RFK's wing. And we, you can bring Crystal Ellis on and she'll give you the details. But this is what RFK did. You know, this guy was a fucking heroin addict. They had to, oh, the Kennedys always get resurrected into some role for public service, right? One of our other volunteers, her father, very eminent scholar, he went to Harvard. Guess who his roommate was? John F. Kennedy. And he said Kennedy was fucking syphilis filled, STD all day long, never went to class, okay? But he'd always get A's, Mike. All right? So you have to understand these people are manufactured. It's hard for us to fathom this, Mike, because we're not of this ilk. But Kennedy, RFK, has swooped in on bottoms-up movements. And people say, oh my God, Booby's going to, you know, be part, you know, the Kennedys. He uses our brand, hijacks those movements, and destroys them. He did that to a woman in Samoa. So you
well, I see CHD hijacking the clean food movement, which I was one of the pioneers of clean food. I've been doing it for over 20 years. I'm a lab food scientist. I've run ICP-MS instruments for over a decade. I've done tens of thousands.
It's just garbage.
And then, CHD puts out this story on the study, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's all made up. It's a hoax. And I told them about it, and they won't pull their story, at least not yet.
Well, because they're getting donations, Mike.
It's just shock. It's such junk, truly junk science coming out of CHD right now. Yeah. And well, I'm offended by it.
We should separately talk about this clean food seal we've developed, and we may want to collaborate on that. But we're helping manufacture small guys figure this stuff out. But separate from this, you have to understand they take any movement, Mike, anything, and they swoop in and they add fake shit. They don't care. They use their muscle power to own it. And then they then get attacked by people and they say, oh, see, they're attacking us. Well, the opposition is legitimately attacking them, Mike. Okay. But they make this as though into a yin and yang. They create the fake theater and they cha-ching, 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 they collect money. I've seen this in the GMO movement, Mike.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Papers really exposing the GMOs. You had people create characters like Stephanie Seneff, who sort of made shit, but it was nonsense in the election integrity movement. That's why they pushed a bunch of fake guys, including Mike Lindell, who sold pillows off the shit. But what I'm saying is at the end of the day, they know people are going to figure stuff out. So they have a immune system, which creates a fake version of it.
Yeah.
To move eyeballs away that can also be attacked. You see? So they create fake controversies, Mike.
No, it's so bizarre. I saw someone on CHD sounding the alarm over there's aluminum in food. Oh, really? You mean one of the most common elements in dirt is found in food grown in dirt? I'm like, why is this news to anybody that there's aluminum in food? Of course there's aluminum in food. There's carbon in food. Are they going to have somebody like, oh, watch out, there's carbon in food? I just can't believe the level of scientific illiteracy that I'm watching demonstrated out of the CHD today. But that's another podcast. That's another subject.
Yeah, but Mike, I think it's part of this larger thing to create local controversies and to, you know, show the monkey a little bit of, you know, flash here as though they're caring. Meanwhile, you conduct the complete genocide in Gaza. You depopulate human beings. You destroy lifespan, right? So that is going on. And making white liberal elites or multiracial liberal elites feel good that they're fighting something. You say,
right,
oh, I'm fighting for the climate. And that's why this Jill Stein, I call her, who's a fucking racist Nazi, Zionist. because what you did to Cynthia McKinney. I mean, we have the videotape of her telling people when Cynthia McKinney is an anti-Semite for saying Israel was involved with 9/11. It's black and white. And people are saying, oh, this is an AI voice. We ran it through the AI voice thing. It said it's 99% not an AI voice. You see? So that's the next, you know, ace in the hole that they're developing. Tulsi Gabbard, another one, who was all into going into Iraq, all into butchering people in Palestine. So they have Vivek the Snake. They have they shepherd on the left and the right, all these people, Mike, and then overnight they can make someone visible, right? With their media prowess.
That's right. They do. Yeah. Overnight. People out of nowhere suddenly become super visible.
He's gone through the Yale and Harvard breeding school.
Yep.
And overnight he gets to be out there, even though he's a complete scam artist, end to end, a fucking scam artist.
But well, I say the same people that blew up the pagers also blew up the Twin Towers. So there you go.
There you go. You're an anti-Semite, Mike.
Experts in explosives. They know how to blow shit up. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Okay. So Dr. Shiva, we're going to wrap this up here. Thank you for spending this time with me. So my promise to you, I've said it on the record. This will be aired. I will write in your name if Trump does not denounce Israel's genocide by election day. That's my promise.
All right. Tell that to everyone, Mike.
And I will.
All your audience and our audience, I think one of the compelling things we need to recognize is, I think we both agree, Mike, if you are truly a follower of Christ and you believe in this concept of you'll be judged at some point in your life, you have to recognize, are you living a moral life of integrity?
Exactly.
Does your words match your deeds? Do the scriptures that you're talking about, particularly the New Testament, let's leave the Old Testament aside, right? The Old Testament was a vindictive God. The redemption that Christ offered was a forgiving God, right? This God of compassion. And that really is a message of Christ. But Christ also was a very powerful being. He took the whip to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who were the Zionists of the time. And he was not shy about this. And it was the Zionists of the time who butchered Christ.
That's true.
7 days before he was hung, or before he was crucified. And if you can go, multiple times he went into the temples. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who collaborated against him. The obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment.
That's true.
Okay. And so we must understand that Christ was not into quote unquote nonviolence. He did practice some violence. And a lot of Christians don't want to talk about that. Oh, that was just when Christ flipped out a little bit. No, the essence of Christ's crucifixion, the 7 days before, must be charted. The people who betrayed him and crucified him were the Zionists of the time, period.
Well, right, exactly. And for those who would say, no, the Romans killed him. No, it was the Zionists that talked Pilate, of the Roman judge, into allowing the crucifixion. But it was the ancient Israeli leaders, the religious leaders, who demanded it again and again and again and celebrated it when it happened. That's the truth.
And Mike, if you look at it, the Romans in the modern world are the obvious establishment, Trump and Kamala, Democrats and Republicans. So they create the Zionist equivalents, like the Jill Steins, the Tulsi Gabbards, the Bernie Sanders, who talk a good game of revolution and change. But these people are the Zionists of our time. The Zionists of our time are these people who talk a game about helping you, fighting for you. But then you look at their deeds, and you must look at people's deeds. Tulsi fucking Gabbard can talk all day long about the military-industrial complex, but she was all out for invading Iraq, and she was all out for butchering Palestine.
Yeah, yeah, that's all true. But Bernie Sanders is pushing back against Israel hard now.
Well, Bernie needs to do that to maintain his brand. That's it. That's all he's doing it for. So Congress has a few of these people, Mike, who are in there, you know, to give us hope. Like Jesse Jackson, another scumbag, said, keep hope alive, right? These people are never going to do anything significant. It is we, the people, must do it. We must build the bottoms-up movement.
Good point.
Period.
Okay, I want to ask for your prediction. Does Israel survive the next 5 years? I mean, the economy is in shambles. Its reputation around the world has collapsed. Iran has nuclear warhead capability right now. And Russia has the mutual defense agreement with Iran. Does Israel even survive this?
Mike, I think what you have to look at is that if you go back to first principles, right, like in physics, $75 trillion worth of land in Russia and resources. Iran has $35 trillion, okay? I don't think you and I can ever embrace or appreciate the level of greed these people have. We cannot even fathom it, okay? So we should never be hopeful of Israel just disintegrating. What's going to happen is Israel is going to escalate. They own all these people in Congress, Mike. They own all of them. All of them. President, congresspeople, senators, all of them.
Yeah, they're going to escalate for sure.
Yeah, they're going to escalate. And because they're for not only their own survival, but the expansion of Israel to greater Israel. So this is at a point of a trajectory that demands that Israel keep fighting. You see?
Yes.
Or it'll be, now, as they're going to southern Lebanon, do you know they're already starting to sell the real estate there?
I do know that. Yeah. But Israel is being defeated on the ground in southern Lebanon.
So what does a rabid dog do when it's put into a corner? Okay.
Fights back. I think your own dog wants to go out, by the way.
To go out. He's Geronimo. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up then. Okay, so you can take care of your dog. But thank you, Dr. Shiva. Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining me today.
Back to you and best to all your audience.
Okay. Well. You too. Take care.
Geronimo.
All right, thanks, folks. There you go. Dr. Shiva. The website is shivaforpresident.com. Let's see if I've got
we
it here.
We have allowed our
Shiva
country
for president, and that's
to be
the
taken
numeral
over
four.
From within.
So visit
and
that website, and
is you will
look,
have a homogenized
I understand
world
that Dr. Shiva
where
is...
we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite, working people.
Israel is going to escalate. They own all these people in Congress, Mike. They own all of them. All of them. President, congresspeople, senators, all of them.
Yeah, they're going to escalate for
sure.
Yeah,
they're going to escalate. And because they're for not only their own survival, but the expansion of Israel to greater Israel. So this is at a point of a trajectory that demands that Israel keep fighting. You see?
Yes.
Or it'll be, now, as they're going to southern Lebanon, do you know they're already starting to sell the real estate there?
I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Israel is being defeated on the ground in southern Lebanon.
So what does a rabid dog do when it's put into a corner? Okay.
Fights back. I think your own dog wants to go out, by the way.
To go out. He's Geronimo. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up then. Okay. So you can take care of your dog, but thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for joining me today.
Back to you and best to all your audience.
Okay.
Well.
You too. Take care. All right,
thanks,
folks. There you go. Dr. Shiva. The website is shivaforpresident.com. Let's see if I've got it here. Yeah. Shiva for president. And that's the numeral four. So visit that website. And look, I understand that Dr. Shiva is controversial. What's not controversial these days? If you're telling the truth, if you're behaving in a manner which is moral and ethical, you're going to be called an anti-Semite. You're going to be called controversial today. So we got to get past that. Now, like I said, for the record, I don't agree with every single thing that Dr. Shiva said. I will write in his name if Trump doesn't denounce Israel's genocide before election day. I'm a voter in Texas. I'm not a voter in a swing state. So it doesn't matter as much. It's not an electoral threat, to Trump in Texas. I can't tell you what to do, obviously. And I'm not demanding that you do exactly what I'm doing, but I think what Dr. Shiva says makes sense. And I think we do need a revolution of consciousness. We need to get out of this trap. And, you know, I see Trump and Kamala promising to do things like, well, I'm not going to tax tips, or, you know, I'm not going to tax overtime. And I'm like, why don't you just announce you're going to end all federal income taxes on the people? Because taxation is theft and the government doesn't need our tax money. They will never go that far. They will just promise you little things around the edges to try to claim like, oh, they're really fighting for you. But they're not. They're still going to support the IRS. They're still going to support taxation of your income as a worker. They're still going to support more bombs for Israel. And I can't support that. I cannot allow my soul to be tied to that crime against humanity and crime against God and Christ, which is what Zionism is. Zionism is the antichrist beast system of our world today. And I believe that if you support Israel's Zionism and its crimes against humanity, I believe that God will judge you as being unworthy of entering heaven. That's not me judging you. That's God judging you. And I know that because I've read the Bible and it says so right there in the words of Christ, in the words of Matthew, in the words of Paul in the New Testament, in the words of John in Revelation, in the words of the Lord in the Old Testament, again and again and again, through the prophets, through Ezekiel, through Isaiah, even Zephaniah, Joel, all of it. It's all right there. God promises that he will send you to hell if you are not a moral person. So think carefully about what you do. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what anybody else tells you to do, but you might want to think about doing what God says you should do. That's just saying, something to consider for your eternal soul. In any case, I hope you found this interview intriguing and thoughtful, entirely uncensored, obviously. No censorship here. You may or may not agree, but I hope we gave you something to think about. So please do that. Think about this. And thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams of Brighteon.com. God bless you all. Take care.
We have allowed Here's what we've our got country at HealthRangerStore.com.
New within. Item.
And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.